Somehow decided to take a ride on the struggle bus the last couple days, and just listening to the discussion, it's really, what's standing out to me is to be able to ground on my own. What it really means is it's not that I'm doing it all by myself. It's that I'm not blaming someone or something else for me being ungrounded, and I'm not looking to someone else to do it for me. And I know over the years, Sarah, on and off, I've looked to you to do that for me. And it's more about placing myself in relationship with the elements and the nature spirits and Mother Earth and Father Sun to support me in it. It's a co-created experience, and I was all bound up in myself and contracted and rolling all the old recordings of the self-loathing the last couple of days. And every now and then when this happens, where I get to a place where all I can do is just cry. And today there were a few waterfalls, and I moved through a big chunk, and I felt a fullness within my being, including a palpable fullness in my physical body. That is, it's very subtle. It's different than the fullness I've experienced being grounded before. There's a shift. And I had the sense, it was the other day, of just looking at so many so-called roadblocks to all of these plans I have for myself. And I said to myself, well, the universe is really putting me in my place. And I caught myself. And I had a thought that no, the universe, the divine is placing me in my place, which is right where I need to be. And in that, there is the ultimate safety and the ultimate love. And I am so aware of, I don't remember who said the word safe or safety. It might have been Kim in the conversation, of how unsafe I can feel every single day and be afraid of at least 20 things every day. And I don't have to live that way. And it brings to mind, I think it's Rumi who says, God is closer to you than your jugular. And it just takes, and you've said this before, Sarah, it just takes just a slight little turn, a slight little shift, and there you are. And I forget that. I get so caught up. And I'm resolved to remember and return. And I'm really grateful for this class, this training, and everything that is coming to fruition here. So thank you.
Yeah, that peace that comes up in you is really strong. It's like a bucking bronco that you're taming.
Yeah, I really want to come to more of an understanding of that piece.
Well, it's part of our trauma speak. And let's see. Let me just pause here. Okay. So, we just have such a sensitivity to rejection. in so many levels in our culture. I mean, rejection is just a reflex that happens all the time. And we develop a sensitivity to it. And I've recently, like in the last year or so, became more aware of it. Ken, I'm just going to bring up about the RSD. So I have permission from Ken for him to be our ADHD sample in the group, because we are, you know, I mean, like Michelle has her knee surgery and Lisa has her hips, and we each have something that is going to be illustrative for us in our training here, and examples of how to work with it. And we become aware of what's called RSD, rejection sensitivity dysphoria. And in people with ADHD, and this is important to know when you're teaching, people who have ADHD and have the quality of the rejection sensitivity dysphoria, which is part of the nervous system. It's learned and it's part of the nervous system. And it is an incredibly difficult reflex to shift beyond. There's an immediate reflex to feel rejected and judge yourself for it. And I bring it up, it's an example of someone with ADHD, but I think we all have some of that in us. And it permeates our culture, and I think it permeates our nervous system because it can be learned in the nervous system from the culture. And that moment when you feel like you've completely failed, that you'll never be any good, that everything is useless, and no one will ever like you, and you just don't even deserve to be alive. All of that gets wrapped up in this rejection sensitivity. Are you familiar with it, Renee, in your psych practice?
I am, and I only became familiar with it a while ago when a client started to talk about it, another therapist started to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I deeply resonated with it,
mm-hmm.
deeply.
Mm-hmm. And so the reason we need to be aware of it is that when you're guiding a group, you're going to have people who have extreme amounts of that rejection sensitivity in the group. And no matter what you say, it's going to be interpreted somehow as a rejection, that you've judged them and they have been rejected. And then they act out and can create a whole drama around something that's happened in the group. And so remember when I said that I was really hesitant to bring up the standard that I wanted to train to in this group? It's because there is so much self-judgment and that sense of rejection that if I talk about being held to a standard, it can immediately trigger that sense of, I'll never be able to do that. She'll be judging me all the time. She'll be watching how I do this or do that. And it just can trigger so much, and it distorts the teachings. It's, you know, what I call mangling the teachings. And that's why there is such a delicate sensitivity to how the true teachings are spoken or transmit it. Because if you drop a true teaching into a bucket or soil that will spit it out and then contort it, that is somewhat of a lack of awareness on the teacher's part or the guide's part. It's very, very subtle. In this training, I'm bringing through this transmission that I've had from my teachers that was transmitted only when I was fertile. And it's taken all these years of us all practicing together and for a certain number of you to make the commitment to be in this training, that the fertility has increased, that there's much more fertile soil in this group so that the teachings can be transmitted. I'm being very transparent about this. It's not about an ego. It's not about me being a teacher. It's about me being a carrier. Of the living wisdom. So, can some of you relate to this sensitivity to the rejection and the spiral that you go down when you feel judged? No matter where it's coming from, you just interpret everything as a negative comment about you.
This is Elena, and yes, this feels like an explanation I've been searching for. And I can feel a lot loosening and opening up around this piece. So thank you.
I'm glad.
I struggled really tremendously with the week leading up to our weekend training. And this is really helping me now to just soften that. It feels like I get locked out of myself when this happens. And it becomes a very difficult state to come out of. It's just total contraction. And a lot of like freezing that happens in my body.
That's exactly what it feels like. And you're just kind of waiting for the moment when it can finally release, right?
Yeah, and it, well, I've been coming back to this concept of our circle and not being able to do it alone. And when I am in that contracted, just, yeah, hate myself place, it is That conditioning comes in so loudly of, oh, I have to figure out how to pull myself out of this because it feels so unsafe to have anyone else help with that.
Yes. Everything you're saying is true to that experience. And it's prevalent. There's very few people that don't feel that in some form and some degree. No matter what they look like on the outside. But sometimes it's more somatic, sometimes it's more emotional, sometimes it's more mental. And you know how I describe what happens when a group of people gets together and how heavy the energy really is? That's a big part of that heavy energy. And that energy has been able to collect and harden because we weren't taught how to circulate and be in the living energies of our body and Mother Earth. It's a hardening of heavy energies. Renee, do you have anything to say about this from?
Oh, I just wanted to add briefly that for me, it really sounds and feels so much like shame. Like that's the ocean that this stuff ends up in. And that exists in the nervous system, and it's in the air we breathe. It's institutionalized in our culture.
I lived most of my life with a tremendous fear of rejection. I don't know anything about RSD specifically, but yeah, it was devastating. And I would fall into a huge shame spiral and a lot of self-loathing. And I'd like to say I'm largely, orders of magnitude away from when I was younger, but I could still, something will happen and someone can say something and it feels like a rejection, and it still stings, and it still can take a while. And so yeah, it's been something I've had since I can remember being a little tiny boy.
So I just want to point out that before I brought this up, you heard me say, let me take a pause because I wanted to check in to see if I had a go-ahead to bring up this topic. And I did. But I want you to hear the part about I paused and checked in. Before I went ahead. When I checked in, I could tell that the guides here, the luminous beings here that are holding us, were available to help us energetically with this, that it wasn't, once we brought it up, it wasn't going to be a big dumping ground, and that we would have the collaboration to help begin clearing this. So I don't bring up these heavy duty topics without checking in first, making sure that the energies are there to help cleanse it, purify it, and help release it. That's an important point. And you'll say to me, well, how do I know that? Well, you'll know it from experience. You'll know it when you do it and there's no support there, and you'll feel what happens, and you'll learn it through experience. And I do that with every single thing all day long, every conversation. And it's not a burden. It's just a natural way of how I sense the world. Do we have anything more that we want to say about this? So just to be clear, before we started the training, I asked Ken's permission for him to be the ADHD sample, and he granted permission for that. I want you to be very clear about that. So let me ask, is anyone sitting there here tonight, right now, after this conversation, in more shame for the fact that this was brought up? I just want to make sure that it's something that opened and released rather than dug anyone into that spiral further. Did anyone pair up over the last 2 days in practice together?
Yes.
And how did it go?
It was good. I paired up with Tiffany. And we had maybe a 20-minute conversation. I'm just grounding here. Yeah, it was nice to for me just to get to know her a little better. And to do it while I was grounding. And also moving in and out of grounding. You know, so for me, we ended up talking a little bit about being introverts. And so for me to talk to someone new, that can be exciting and I can get ungrounded with that for sure. So for me, it was an experiment around having those two things going on.
Good. Tiffany, how was it for you?
It was good. Sorry, I was having a little technology problem. I unmuted. Say it's very good practice for me to. I'll put myself in the attempt to ground or be aware of trying to ground while speaking. I'm not sure I was grounded, but it was really. I think there were at least some moments of grounded anyway.
Did you start off speaking ungrounded and then just shift into grounding while you were just talking right now?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You did. You did it.
Okay. I'm grateful, and I would enjoy it. Practicing, maybe I shouldn't say. I enjoyed getting to know Kim a little bit more. I do enjoy that part, the awkwardness of it, as she said, being introverted and attempting to ground and do all of it is both enjoyable and a little difficult.
But that's what the practice is for. So I'm glad that you guys jumped right in. And it was really nice just seeing that shift you made, Tiffany. That was really nice to see.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm just gonna do a little tease here for all of you that might want to work with Tiffany. She has some really exciting experiences in nature that you can find out about her river trips. So, if you engage with her, you might find out some really fun stuff. Okay. Who else? Did anyone else pair up? That was it.
Yes, Elena. And I spoke with Cindy earlier today. And it was very joyous. And really, I appreciated being able to sit across from someone who I am trusting that they know how to do this. It really just lets me explore the conversation in a very different way because I'm not pulled as often into that, you know, trying to regulate people around me mode. So I was actually able by the end of the conversation to speak and feel my tailbone at the same time. And I struggle a lot to feel below my navel. So that was really big for me.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I can share that there's this newer space for me that's opening up when I'm in communication with other people. It's a wide open space. So it was really interesting and fun for me to dip in and out of that while we were speaking. That was nice.
Yeah, and Elena, I'm really glad you got a chance to feel what it feels like not to regulate someone else.
Me too.
Yeah. And Cindy, everything you're doing is exciting now. Okay. Well, I hope you guys get a chance. Did anyone else pair up that I'm missing? I hope that you'll get a chance possibly this week to do that. It's good practice. Okay, so we have a good chunk of heavy energy here that we want to clear, and we have a beautiful chunk of incredible light energy here too. So, unless anyone, does anyone have anything else they want to share? Okay. So we're going to go into clearing and grounding. And so the thing that I want you to be aware of is how much heavy energy a group brings with it. And I don't want you to focus on it and make it harder and heavier. I just want you to have a soft awareness and how you might know that there is a pool of heavy energy as well as a beautiful sacred circle. But this discernment of being able to know that there's this heavy energy without engaging in it is an important skill. And that's why when we talked about being able to recognize in yourself where your heavy energy is, and then being able to take care of it and start to have confidence that you can take care of it, as that skill develops, then the skill of being able to know when the group has the heavy energy automatically starts to become clear. They're directly related to each other. So that's why it's really important to be able to keep returning, returning, returning without entering into that shame spiral and judgment, and do the best you can to return without a lot of interference. Because it develops that capacity to see clearly. And that's the thing you're going to be dealing with if you work with people or facilitate a sacred ceremony. The biggest thing you're going to be dealing with is everyone's heavy energy. Some of you that were in light journey training 20 years ago, remember it would take a whole weekend for us to get clear. That's all we were doing was getting to the point where we were clearing the heavy energy. So that's why we have the process of grounding and aligning with the living energies of the elements and the directions. And activating the axis and the toroidal field. And we start the process of digesting and transforming the heavy energy. So that is really important. It's really important too. The moment you put out the announcement that you're going to have a class or a session or a sacred circle, that heavy energy starts collecting. And it can play havoc with your house, your electronics, your body, your emotions, your relationships, your work, everything, your dreams. That heavy energy starts circulating with you. And so it's important to be very intentional and really sit with what you're going to offer. And be clear that it's really guided from this collaborative space. And to point out that before every class, one of my instructions to people is to practice getting quiet and grounding before the class begins, to possibly set up an altar, to clear your space and make sure you're going to not be interrupted, and to not be focused on any social media. Before I have a session, I invite people to listen to the grounding meditation. All of that is to help to begin start clearing heavy energy. Okay, so we'll do some clearing here. I know everyone's probably tired, and I don't want to take you beyond the tired point, so we'll see what happens here. Allow yourself to soften your body. Actually go towards sleep and that kind of relaxation. And we're going to become available to these incredibly loving, radiant beings that are entering the circle here, to help us clear and transmute this heavy energy. So we get help with this. It's not all, we participate by grounding and becoming sensitive to the energy. But the ceremonial part of this is when the higher intelligences are able to come into the ceremony, excuse me, and do the heavy lifting for us, because we really can't do that on our own. We can initiate it, but the ceremonial aspect is receiving the help from the higher dimensional beings, and they're here. And the axis of the group is starting to get very bright. So allow yourself to relax. Become aware of your seat, your tailbone. Your calf muscles. Your feet. Release the lower back. Let the knees spread out a bit. And literally sit back in your being, because this is being done for us. We are surrounded in this incredible loving light. And beautiful perfection that knows how to restore balance and harmony to the heavy energies that are created on Earth. So part of being on Earth is heavy energy. That's what Earth is. All the Earth is heavy. Water's heavy. And so we weren't dropped here without assistance. We weren't dropped behind enemy lines without any help. And the skill here is in the allowing and being able to sit a little bit with discomfort if it's there. You can go into a sleepy state and become more passive here. It allows your higher being to collaborate with the light beings. And you might feel like there's a part of you rising up above your body and joining into the light. And your body is grounded. It's perfectly safe to do that. The toroidal field of the circle has formed and is active. So that's actually on a closer dimension to Earth, is the toroidal field. It actually interacts with matter. And then we're also in relationship to even a higher, finer frequency than the toroidal field. There's a huge downpour of the spirit of the water in golden rivers of light. And these golden rivers and downpour of light continues the purification. And then the downpour ends, and what's left is the inner flame. Spirit of the fire. So there's a flame within each one of us and a flame in the center of the circle. An etheric flame. Continuing the purification. And as that clears, a sense of exaltation arises and dissipates into the air element, subtle flows of pure energy circulating through us, around us. This elemental purification is loosening up the rigid structures of limitation. And this becomes very, very subtle. So don't try to feel anything. We'll feel the effect of it, but keep relaxing. So we slip through the ether, the membrane, opened a doorway, and we were lifted into what I call the golden realm, which is the reason you'll see temples with and ashrams and sacred buildings with golden spires and domes. And it's a space, people might call it Shambhala. It's a gathering place that's like a ashram in the etheric world, where we're cleansed and freed up and taught, reminded. Where we meet our teachers, our guides. Don't try to figure it out. I'm just giving you clues, cues. And then we move beyond that realm into the realm of the pure land or the pure light, pure vibration. Pure divinity. And beyond. A pure sound, the hum of the universe, pure vibration. And into the next pure vibration. And then into complete disillusion. And becoming one with the universal spirit. So what I'd like to do is, if you're ready to just go lie down and rest, then keep this open and you'll feel a natural end to it, or you can fall asleep to it. Or if you're more on the West Coast and you're not quite ready to go to bed, this is going to stay open for a little bit longer. So I want you to be very careful. I don't want you engaging with the world for at least a half hour or more. You're in a very rarefied state, and because it's not dark out, and yeah, you could go on social media, turn on a TV, or do something, but you shouldn't. You should really just be quiet for a good half hour, and then you'll feel yourself reground. But be very, very careful. This is a real gift. And I don't want you to shock your system with the world around you, the frequency of the world around you. So promise me you'll be very careful. You don't have to say it out loud, but protect this space for a good half hour before engaging with anyone or anything in the world. Okay, so we'll meet tomorrow evening again. This was a very special meditation, very special. And you don't have to know everything that happened, but it will have a huge impact with your consciousness. So thank you for being here. Be careful, be gentle, be kind to yourself. And we'll meet tomorrow. Many blessings.